How many of you enjoyed those breakout sessions? Amen. Listen, those will be made available. I know he said, when I looked at that list, I wanted to hear them all. They are going to be made available. They're simply going to be at our website, bridgecitypgh.com/power. Okay, it won't be on there today, right? But they will be on that you can listen to all of the sessions, right? Because again, I tell you, what I just heard Charisse do with the prophetic ministry, it's a must hear for everybody. It's a must hear for everyone. So again, so you need to be there, Also, I want you to know that, again, the culmination of this morning is really this evening. Okay, so I can't exhort you enough to come back out in the cold, miss a playoff game, guys, okay, and come back and be a part. Because tonight really is the culmination. Right? We're setting the table for us to be able to come out tonight and have a prolonged time together in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, so again, I hope you're planning on that. If not, change your plans. If you're saying, I already have plans, I just want to ask you, when was the last time you did change your plans for Jesus? Okay? All right? So change your plans. Change your plans, all right? That's no extra charge for that shot. Okay, so we have the worship night tonight. I also want to make you aware at this time, particularly as we come out of a seminar like this, where we're being challenged, and this has been rich. It's been rich. And on the 30th of the month, we're having what we call a growth track night. And some of you may have heard a little bit about this, but what we're looking to do is create opportunity for us to grow deeper in understanding of the Word of God, which brings greater clarity to our walk with God. All right? And we're asking everyone to go through this. There's various tracks. I'm not going to get into all those details. But it's something we're going to do three times a year. Three times. How many times? Only three. All right? It's prolonged. Right? It's 3 hours long. There will be childcare. We'll have some snacks, unless we call a fast. Okay? We have found that when you call fast, running a seminar is much easier. Okay? All right? The staff is very happy when we call fast. Okay, but we are going to have some snacks there at that time. But again, if this has been good to you and you say, man, I need this type of drive, this push, then make that a priority. Make that a priority on the 30th. Okay, so be aware of that. Also, again, I want to get this on your mind right now. Following this session, in the cafe, there's going to be an opportunity for you to sign up for a team to pray tonight. Pray for people. Now, again, you could observe, but you'll be part of a team with some people more experienced. There's three different teams that you could sign up for. One would be if you want to be on a team that does prophetic ministry. In other words, people are going to come up, and we're just going to pray and see what God does. Another is for healing. You know, we're going to be praying for people that need healing. If you want to be part of that team, you can sign up for that. The other is those who want filled with the Holy Spirit, who have never had the experience, or want refilled, one or another filling, okay, which really we should all be in that line, actually, right? And so if you desire, you say, man, I want to take a step, be put in a little more uncomfortable position, or you're just saying, I've done that before and I need to be a part of it again, that opportunity will be here. It'll be in the cafe. There'll be tables set up out there with Ashley and Cheryl, okay? All right? So again, we just want to make you aware of that. Okay, now we're going to get started here on our last session. And like I said, just want to remember, though, the culmination is not in 40 minutes or so. The culmination is tonight. Amen? The culmination is like about 7:45 tonight. That's when things really culminate. Amen? All right. Now, I'm not turning there yet, but you can turn to Judges chapter 6. You know, as we're in this seminar, one of the things that's in my mind and kind of rolls through my soul is the biblical examples we have who have really reached their potential in God. And I think of Ruth. I think of the book of Ruth, and here's Ruth, this widow who chose to follow her mother-in-law into a land she didn't know. And the miraculous story of how she was, of course, redeemed by Boaz. But man, again, she was a nobody. She was a widow, poor. I mean, literally gleaning the fields because they had no income, right? But yet God did something amazing with her. And I think of Gideon. I mean, we know the story of Gideon. We're going to look at that in a moment. But the point is, here's two people that everyone looked at and said, there's no potential there. They have a low ceiling. Right? There's not much. There's not much potential, not much possibility here in their lives. I want you to know something. You have potential. And there is great possibility for you in your life. And I don't, listen, I don't care your age. I don't care if you're 20 or you're 70. There's potential. And we need to see that. And we need to recognize what God wants to do in our lives. This seminar is about possibilities and potential. Ultimately, that's what the Holy Spirit's about. God says, I'm presenting you with an opportunity. I'm giving this to you. Will you take advantage of what I'm giving you? Right? So this is about possibilities. The point is, can we see it? Can we believe it? I mean, every one of us wants to fulfill our potential. Every one of us that has had the blessing of children. I mean, you ache over wanting to see your kids reach their potential, right? Well, how much more does the Father in heaven want you to reach your potential in God? He longs, he aches for you and I to reach our potential. Man, we first have to see that there is potential. We've got to grab hold of that reality. See, because we need the fire of the Spirit. We need Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, empowering us to be able to reach our potential. That's reality. It cannot happen any other way. But the problem we have is we have an experience with God. We have an experience with the Holy Spirit. And then the fire goes out. And you can't reach your potential if the fire keeps going out. Right? It can't happen. The fire has to stay lit. This fire in God, this fire, this presence of His Spirit needs to be in us, stay in us, and be fed. Sadly, for the vast majority of us, all of us, you know, we keep letting the fire go out. You know, most of us, listen, most of us, we're like, I don't know if I ever got the fire lit, right? You know, there's probably some people in the room here that may not remember stick matches, okay? Like you light a match. Okay, we're getting to that place where it's going to be a trivia question, right? But you take a match and you strike a match and you light the match and there's flame. That little thing creates a flame. But what happens? It quickly goes out, right? And you got to light another one. Okay, you got to light another one. Here, see, the problem that I know in my house, I've never been a good Boy Scout. I'm not the best. And we're trying to do a fire in the fire. We have a fire pit. We had a fire pit in our backyard. I just can't start the fire, okay? I wanted to use another adjective there, but I held myself. You know, you can't start the fire. Why? Because really, the fuel's not good. See, and the problem we have when it comes to the Holy Spirit is he's the match. He lights the fire. But you have to supply the fuel for the fire to stay lit. You have to supply the fuel. And our problem is we're not supplying the fuel. So what do we keep doing? We keep coming to meetings, flicking matches, and wondering why they won't stay lit. Now, the good news is Holy Spirit will continue to light your fire. He will continue. Isn't that good news? Amen. I've been at this a long time. I'm so thankful he continues to light the fire, right? But listen, the reason the fire won't stay lit is we don't supply the fuel. There has to be fuel. You will not reach your potential if you are not supplying fuel for the fire of God. That's reality. And so what we want to do in these moments is talk about the fuel that is necessary for you and I to put on that flame. Otherwise, this again will be another moment in time. January 15th will be another time where, man, I had a great experience in the Spirit. Boy, wasn't that good last year at that meeting? Now, how about we just keep the fire lit? Amen? How about we keep the fire lit? How many are with me? Right? I want the fire to stay lit, right? So that's what we're going to talk about here. That's what we're diving into here. And that's what God wants to help us catch. First thing, to keep the fire lit, what do we have to do? We got to believe God wants to use us in bigger ways than we can see. We've got to believe there's potential. And let's look at Judges here. And we're going to run through this rather quick. This is Judges chapter 6. You're familiar. I'm not going to say a lot of background. Familiar with the story of Gideon. Verse 11 says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer.
Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites, who, of course, were overrunning the land. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Gideon's reply, "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midianites." Listen, listen. Gideon just had an experience with an angel, all right? I think that's kind of akin to the Holy Ghost, right? He has an experience with an angel. And what's interesting is there's other places where we see in the Bible that they have an experience with an angel and they like fall on their face in fear. Gideon, I don't know if this angel appeared different or what, all right? But Gideon has a whole different response here. And his response is history. It's his history. It's like, what are you telling me about a mighty? Where have you been? Where have you been, right? Wait, you know the history. But let's, for time's sake, let's jump right to you. See, for you to see potential in your life, you have to quit replaying the old records of the past. You have to quit thinking about the things that were said about you years ago. You have to quit thinking about and dwelling on the stuff that you look in the mirror and see every single day. Right? Because we keep looking in the mirror, and by our history, we disqualify ourselves for the future. God, I prayed. Tom, you could do this whole thing with your story. I prayed, and she didn't get healed. Where were you? Don't tell me you're good. Don't tell me I'm mighty. Right? We keep playing these old records, not understanding who God is. And what do? We crush our potential. How are you going to walk in the Spirit of God and fight in the fire of God if you can't believe God can do mighty things with you? And again, remember, Gideon, Ruth, nobody saw anything in them. Nobody saw anything. And we look in the mirror and we all feel that to some degree. God, you want to use me? Stop playing that history. Stop playing it. And you know what's cool in this too? And I appreciate this about the Lord. The next verse. Now, Gideon just like laid out this angel. Like, man, where are you? What are you up to? The angel ignores him. And I so appreciate that. Aren't you appreciate that God ignores a lot of stuff you tell him? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful he ignores it. Hey, then the Lord turned to him and said, verse 14, "Go with the strength you have. Rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But, Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue my family? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. I am the least in my entire family." Okay, first he looked at history. Now he just looks in the mirror. And it stops him from seeing his potential. He looks in the mirror. "Don't you know who I am?" First he blamed God for the failure in history. Now he looks in the mirror and says, "I'm the problem. I'm the least of the least. Haven't you seen my track record? Don't you know how I spoke to my spouse yesterday? You know that I like flipped off the guy on 28, you know, just this morning, right?" That's the stuff that we run through, right? And so what do? We crush our potential. I mean, I can't see what God can do for me or with me because I look in the mirror and say, there ain't no way. There's no way that God can use me. Listen, if the fire is going to stay lit, quit determining what God can do with you. Stop it. Quit determining what God can do. The scripture is filled with example after example of people that God called that had no right to be called by our standard. None of the disciples look like they should be the guy. None of the 12 look like they should be the guys. Right? Not one Bible school student. Jesus didn't pick one. Not even one token. Right? He ignored them all. Right? Quit limiting what God can do. Stop. We got to stop with that. Okay, let's go on here. For sake of time. Secondly, God, help us here. We can't settle just for freedom in our lives. You want to be all in God. You want to keep the fire lit. Stop settling for freedom. And this goes right along with what Brother Tom was speaking this morning about comfort. We want to stop at comfort. It's human nature. It's human nature. Listen, we do celebrate that the weight of sin is gone. Amen? Huh. Are you thankful? Again, you can look in the mirror guilt-free. No shame. The worst things you've done in your past, he doesn't remember. Is that good news or what? Right? We celebrate that, man. I celebrate that. And we're supposed to rejoice in our freedom. However, remember, if you're going to have the fire lit, that we're talking disciple stuff. We're talking about being a disciple of God, fully devoted followers, as we refer to in our context here as the Bridge City family. A fully devoted follower does not stop at freedom. You don't stop at freedom. No, you stop at fire. See, you got to have freedom and fire. Freedom and fire. Freedom is us enjoying the salvation and free from the stuff of the past, being healed. So thankful for all that. And we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice, but we can't stop there. There's a mission. There's a mission. And the mission is for you to be set on fire that the world can see who he really is. Man, that it's salt and light, man. It's a city on a hill, right? You know, when there's a fire happening, you don't have to invite people to come see it, right? Right? People just love to see fire, right? Like to see things burn. Okay, well, I want to live my life in such a way that people are saying, I got to stop and see this. You know, I want them to avoid the Dairy Owl and Giant Eagle because I'm praying for somebody. Right? I want them to stop and say, I want to watch from a distance. What's going to happen? Right? See, again, so our lives should be lived in such a way that they're giving glory to God. When we're lit on fire, it's not about me anymore. It's about the kingdom of God. See, because again, this fire is going to do something. There's dunamis there. All right? So again, but if we're lovers of freedom, if we settle for freedom, we're never going to be on fire, and you will never, ever, ever see your potential. You know, I think about Pentecost, right? They spilled out into the streets speaking in other languages. People couldn't help but notice. They couldn't help. I think about Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are before the religious leaders, and they say they were amazed. They're hearing how these guys are talking intelligently, right? It was impressive. But they knew. They said, there's something about that Jesus, right? God, that we would have a fire in our lives, that people would look at us that way. Amen? Wouldn't that be glorious, right? But listen, you can't settle. You cannot settle. You cannot settle for freedom. I'm not going to stop till I'm burning on fire. Amen? Listen, for those that are bored with their faith, if you're not motivated, if you're not pushed, and even this morning, if you're looking at your watch, okay, if you're doing that, if you're doing those things, listen, you've lost the excitement of God because you're living only for freedom. When you live only for freedom, this gets boring. It gets boring. Fire, when you live for fire, it gets exciting. Right? Right? Like Brother Tom spoke. He said, you know, again, we get to blow stuff up. Okay? There's a power, there's something that should be happening, and it's for the masses, it's for the world, okay? So if you want the fire, you want fuel to keep the fire going, don't settle for freedom. Do not settle. Look at your neighbor, tell him, don't settle. You know, the great thing is that God wants to pour out his spirit, amen? He wants to do it. He's looking for people to pour his spirit upon, and man, we think it's so important, this spirit thing, that we're taking this whole day devoted to understanding in a greater way. Amen? It's that important. But I want you to know something. We got to remember this. You can never forget. We're still not here just to pursue gifts of God. We're here to pursue the gift giver. It's always going to be about the gift giver. All right? It's about knowing him. That's what we prayed about this morning. God is looking. God is hunting for people who are willing to pursue him in such a way. I want to search for God. God is searching, looking, hunting for people. You know, we want to be people like Caleb. If you remember the story where he said at age 85, they went into the promised land. He says, hey, give me the mountains where the giants are. Okay, he didn't have to do that. He could have said, hey, you young guys, go take care of the giants. I'm taking the plane, right? No, but he chose. He said, no, give me the mountains. I don't have to, but I choose to. That's what God is looking for. He says, man, that's the person I'm looking for. Or how about like the story of Benaiah, who for whatever reason jumped into a pit and fought a lion. Why? Right? But that's the kind of guy God's looking for. You know, a guy, listen, God's looking for people who pick a fight with the devil. Will you pick a fight? You want to pick a fight? You know, some of you love picking fights. Okay. How about picking a fight with the devil? Right? I mean, that's what God is looking for, people with that type of a heart. Man, he wants to pour out his spirit. But remember though, it's all about first knowing him. You know, I bless my children. Keep this in context. I bless my children not because of their accomplishments, but because they're mine. The Father in heaven wants to pour out his spirit upon you because you're his son, because you're his daughter, not because of what you do, right? That's reality. Luke chapter 11 makes that very clear, where Jesus talks about, hey, he gives us the word picture. He says, look, if a father on earth has a son ask for a fish, he's not going to give him a snake. How much more will the Father in heaven give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? He wants to give his spirit. He's looking for people who want to hold it. He's looking for people who will throw fuel on the fire so it will burn. Amen? Not people who just want a match. Okay? Thank you, God, for the grace of matches of the Spirit. Let's fuel the fire. God, help us. Help us grab hold of this reality. Man, God's looking for that. You know, I think about this. Like, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, I recognize the necessity more than ever of taking care of myself. Like, you know, you would think that you get to a place like, okay, I did this, been there, done that. But when it comes to your health, you can't do that. You know, I mean, I slip faster. If I don't eat right, I don't exercise, my vitality goes. And I want you to catch something, particularly for those of us that have been serving God a long time. It's the same thing in the spirit. It's the same thing in the spirit. I need to be more dedicated. I should be growing in this pursuit of him. Not less. I need it more. Because listen, it doesn't take but a day or two and my spiritual vitality starts to drop. And we're wondering, where's the life? Well, because we're not taking time to be with him. God wants to impart his power to someone. He's looking. Remember back in Ezekiel 22. In Ezekiel 22, there's verse 30. We're not going to turn there, but there's a scripture that it says that God says, he was searching the land. Israel was being judged, and he was searching for someone to intercede that he could withhold judgment. Guess who he found? No one. No one. And so judgment, it looks like, came sooner than it had to because there was nobody he could find to support. Don't let that be said of our generation. Don't let that be said of us. Right? I mean, so God wants to anoint. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 16. This is at the time of King Asa. And I'm just going to read through this. It says, now, Asa was one of the better kings. And God had supernaturally delivered them from a million-man army of Ethiopians in chapter 15. Okay, now this is chapter 16. It says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, because they were being oppressed by Israel. This is Judah. They were being oppressed by Israel. It says, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord. Let me say that again. At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord searched the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. Now on, you will be at war. What do we learn? Seek him again today. Seek him again. You know, obviously, Asa at one point, one chapter before, sought God. But here's this new battle. And instead of seeking God, he goes back within himself and tries to come up with the answer, okay? Man, and God's saying, you could have destroyed your enemies, but instead you have war.
What enemies do you have? Doubt? Anxiety? Loneliness? What enemies do you have? What enemies are there? You know, King Asa trusted yesterday, but not today. Trusted yesterday, but not today. Aren't we like King Asa so often? Man, I trusted you in that moment, but today I decided to figure it out on my own. How often have we done that? Asa fell short of his potential in God. We aren't pursuing God, a relationship with Jesus, on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. Therefore, we are still fighting battles that we could have won a long time ago. That's reality. Consider for a moment, what battles in your life, what enemies in your life should be behind you, but because we've been like Asa, forgetting God, they're still in front of me. Take a picture of that slide, take it home, put it on your refrigerator. Right? These battles could be behind us. But because we keep reverting back and fighting on our own, if we want to keep the fire lit, right? We got to see what God wants to do here. Okay, let's continue. Running short of time. You know, a life on fire takes uncommon devotion. If you want to be one who stays on fire, it takes uncommon devotion. Some of you may have heard of Dave Scott. Dave Scott is a Ironman triathlon champion. Six times he won this Ironman competition. And he was an absolute fanatic. In Collins's book, Good to Great, which some of you have read, he makes note of this story. And he says that Dave Scott used to rinse his cottage cheese, thinking it would rinse off the excess fat and help him, okay? Sounds a little weird, right? Sounds a little strange. This guy was taking care of the smallest detail. For him, listen, I mean, winning six triathlons, you got some uncommon habits, okay? Right, you got some uncommon habits to be able to do this. To what, swim 2 miles, run a marathon and bike 100 miles, right? There's a lot there. But there was no sacrifice too great or detail too small to be able to win these triathlons. He was that dedicated. It was uncommon. Now, think about this. If we really believe that we have a God in heaven that we can know intimately, who wants to fill us with fire, with power, and he knows you. He knows you as a daughter. He knows you as a son. If we really believe those things, why doesn't our pursuit of him reflect cottage cheese intensity? I mean intensity. This guy was a fanatic to win a trophy and some money. You and I have the opportunity for heavenly reward. We have the opportunity to know the creator of the universe. Right? Shouldn't we be uncommonly devoted to this in our lives? Is there anything else that makes sense? I mean, nothing else makes sense in context of this. Now again, here's a question. Why do uncommon habits often seem so extreme and unrealistic for the follower of Jesus? Why? Why do uncommon habits seem so crazy? That's the reason the fire doesn't stay lit. Uncommon devotion is necessary if you want the fire to stay lit, right? The Spirit's here. He's trying to light a fire. You got to give him something to light. It takes uncommon devotion. Why can't you spend an hour of devotion to God every day? Why not? Oh, that's just unrealistic. Now, it's extreme. It is extreme. But what do you want? What are you looking for in life? Do you want comfort? You want freedom? You want fire? Right? The challenge is, listen, uncommon devotion is really spelled time, T-I-M-E. Right? We need to be people who are saying, I'm going to put more time in. I got to get up earlier.
right? I got to get up earlier. What? I got to change this. The fast that I've had from media this week, it's felt so good. Maybe you should institute it permanently. No. Right? Unrealistic. Is it really? In light of eternity, in light of knowing the creator of the universe, is it really impractical? See, but we have to be confronted with it like this, or else we don't see it. Aren't you glad you came today? No. You know, we hesitate to embrace habits that disrupt our comfort. We hesitate to embrace habits that disrupt our comfort. Ouch. And I speak to myself on that too. Challenged, man, challenged. You know, I'm trying not to listen to God, what he's telling me about fasting in the future. So, but he's got me. But in light of the cross, Jesus' resurrection, truth of eternity, this is the only practical way to live. I want uncommon devotion. I want to pursue him. I want to know him. I want to be reminded every single day. I want to really put him first in my life. Who's in? Who's in? I want him. I want him. I'm willing to change my life. What would happen? What changes would happen in your life if you really made him first? First place, first and foremost. You know, if we really sought him, what changes would happen? Forget about being dull. Wouldn't happen. Could not happen. Okay, lastly, listen, one more thing. One more thing to add fuel to the fire. All right? We have to declare war on sin. Declare war on sin. As, again, Brother Tom mentioned earlier, you know, we focus on comfort. And we focus on the love of God and the grace of God. And we need to. I don't think we need to de-emphasize God's grace and love. We just need to re-emphasize that there is a call to holiness. And to quit winking at sin in our lives. You have to hate your sin. We're not saying perfection. Hear me. But you got to hate your sin. You've got to hate it. All right, again, you could do a whole hour on this. But sin separates us from God. It breaks our relationship. That's reality. God made a way for us to be set free. He made a way for us. We see in 1 John 1, where it says, if you've sinned, confess your sins one to another, right? Confess your sin, and he's righteous and just to forgive you. That's what it says. Righteous and just to forgive you. Okay, there is this reality. But see, but when it comes to our sinful behavior, when you hear something like this, so often we want to qualify it. Like, what do you really mean? Okay, do you mean like getting angry driving? Or do you mean fornication? I mean all of the above. I'm talking about stealing pencils or stealing a spouse. Everything in between. We need to declare war on sin in our lives. Right? God can only bless holiness. He wants holiness. All right? And if this is fuel. Remember, we're talking about fuel. If you want to fuel the fire, just light a match. What do you want? I want the fire to burn. I don't want to keep lighting matches. All right? We need the fire to burn. This is fuel. You've got to declare war. So you need to get radical about it. You need to confess it to God. If it's not working, you can't deal with it. You got to confess it to somebody else and get accountability. You've got to get the Victory and Freedom Weekend. You got to get personal ministry. We have ways to help you in this. Quit worrying about people knowing you sin, because we already know. Okay? We already know. All right? I know you're a sinner. All right? We already know. See, again, but isn't it crazy how the devil does this silly game in our heads? Come on. Come on. Anybody who says they don't sin, liar. Right? That's the reality. So why, again, see, the devil plays that game. He makes us fall into this silly pride that is just a waste of time. I keep wanting to throw out other adjectives. Bless God. Okay, I'm being refined. Some of you will be proud of that. Okay. All right, so we got to declare war. So get the accountability, get the help. But you got to be radical about these things, for these things to happen. Don't wait. You've got to fight. So again, how are we going to put the power? Throw up that last slide, please, again, that with the four things on it. Okay? Again, catch it. This is the fuel. We want to fuel the fire. This is what you do. See, you know, the problem is when we sin, what we're doing is literally you're building like landing strips in your soul and in your mind for the devil to come and land. Okay, when you sin, that's what you're doing. You're building landing strips. Like you sin, you act that way. It's like you just lit lights saying, hey, come and land here. Devil, here. Come on. I'm inviting you in. That's what you're doing. How about we build a landing strip for the Holy Ghost? You want to know how to build a landing strip for the Holy Ghost? That right there. That's how you build a landing strip. Right there. And you can light a fire. You can fuel the fire. This is how we keep the fire lit. This is how it's going to happen. Amen? This is what God wants to do. Okay, because here's the thing. You're building something in your mind. You're either building a landing strip for the devil or a landing strip for the Holy Spirit. In this past 7 days, how's your airport look? How's it look? What kind of landing strips you've been building, right? So if you're building a landing strip for the devil, don't expect the fire to stay lit. Amen? So the great thing about all this too, though, remember, it's applicable to all of us. It crosses all boundaries. Age, right? Age doesn't make any, education makes no difference. He wants to light a fire in your soul. Okay, so again, what we're saying now, this is the culmination is tonight. This is not the culmination of the day. But what I would want us to do for this moment in time, okay, is we just want to put some action into this. I want to put some action into this just for a couple minutes. Okay, and so what I want you to do for the person on your right, the person to your right, all right, is I want you to ask God for them, pray for them right now for just a few seconds. I want you to pray for them that they would see that God has bigger plans for them. Pray that they see God has bigger plans, bigger plans. All right, again, I know this is uncomfortable for some of you. That's okay. Just pray for them without looking at them. Okay, that's all right. Pray for them without looking at them. God has bigger plans than they could see. Let them see God like Gideon. Let them have an encounter, Lord. Let them see God. They can use them like Esther. Turn it around. Pray for the person on your left. Person on your left. God, release it, God. More fire. God, let them know, God, there's a potential. There's possibilities. Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come. Ask that the Father have that person to your left, not settle for freedom. Don't settle for freedom. God, I pray, God, they don't settle for freedom. Don't settle for freedom. God, let them be a fire, Lord. God, let them burn so bright that people are drawn to them. Turn around and pray that for the person on your right. Person on your right. Again, same thing. God, don't let them settle. Don't let them settle. Don't settle for freedom. Don't settle for freedom. We want fire. We want fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And now for yourself. We're going to pray ourselves these last two. Because this is your decision. Nobody can pray you into uncommon devotion. Tell him your intentions. He knows it's hard. He knows your flesh. How bad do you want God? Uncommon devotion. God, I would declare, God, I want to be uncommonly devoted to you. No more 10-minute prayer time. No more listening to a podcast on the way to work and calling it quiet time. God, uncommon devotion. Uncommon devotion. Uncommon devotion. It's totally up to you. Totally up to me. Uncommon devotion. Declare war on your sin. You all know what the battles are. Declare war. That starts with repentance. Forgive me. Jesus, thank you for the blood. And I'm calling on you to help me in my time of need. I declare war. I hate my sin. I hate the way I fall short. I hate the attitude. I hate the behavior. And tell him, say, God, I commit to get help. If you're not beating it, can you tell God right now, God, I commit to get help? That gets scary now. I need help. I need help. This thing continues to beat me up. I need help. I'm going to get help. Father God, we ask for fresh fire right now. Fresh fire. Fresh fire, God. Again, Lord, you would fill us fresh. Fill us fresh. And remember, you don't have to beg. If you just told him you hate your sin, you're a clean vessel, okay? Okay, fresh fire. Remember, he's searching the room. He's searching, saying, whose heart's all mine? Whose heart's mine? Because I want to come and fill them fresh with my spirit. Fresh fire. God, I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have, Lord, more of you. More of you. God, I need your spirit. God, fresh. Fresh, Lord. I'm going to ask today. I'm going to ask tomorrow. Because, God, I don't want this fire to go out. I devote myself to fueling this flame. God, I am going to believe that you have bigger plans for my future. God, I am not going to settle for comfort and freedom. Father God, I am going to be uncommonly devoted to you. I have uncommon communion with you in amounts of time. And I declare war on my sin. Dad, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Fill this house. Fill this house. And Dad, we even pray right now, God, for tonight. Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Man, God, let this be a transformational night. God, I pray, Lord, that this afternoon, that these four things hang in people's soul, in their minds, that they're thinking about these all afternoon, God. Man, I'm going to believe bigger. I'm not settling anymore for my own comfort. God, I want to know you like never before. And God, I want to honor you with my life. Holy Spirit, come. Remember, you don't have to beg. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. Tell him your heart's open. God, I'm open. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand because he deserves it. Amen. Praying that this morning has been fruitful for you, and we've given you fuel.